from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Yodish beings, and, fans of Raven Simone everywhere. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that put a lot in the beginning of the show because I wanted to say Yodish beings, and then I thought of other important things. That you may say, well, actually, I'm all of those. Well, I'm not a Scoots, what's a Yodish being? And I'd say, come on now. It's a being that's a bit like Yoda. It's Yodish.
I guess it could be many other things. Oh, you know what, though? It's time. I'm going off topic already. It's time for Sleep With Me. Welcome, the podcast that puts you to sleep.
Hey, before we get to the story here, or before we get to the intro or whatever's next, remember, Sleep With Me is built to create a place, a safe place for you to rest, where you could, you know, relax and get comfortable. And that comes from my empathy and compassion, because I've been there in the deep, dark night, and I want something good for you, because you deserve a good night's sleep. And that also comes with a responsibility to you, and that means two things. Making sure there's resources in the show notes if you're having a tough time right now, and saying take that step to use those resources if you need them. And the second thing is to say that the lives of our listeners clearly matter. If good sleep matters, then the lives of our listeners matter. And that means that Black lives matter. And I'm glad listeners keep pointing that out to me, that, yeah, this show's about you, and that means something, right? So there's going to be links to organizations in the show notes if you want to be a part of change, because you matter, okay? And it's important to me to be in that place of compassion and empathy, so I can be here for you and make this show. And I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much for listening. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this show twice a week.
But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, like, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please, because I'm so happy with the listeners that supported the sponsors. Let me know about it. Let the sponsors know the partnership is appreciated. And that's where I want to thank Rebecca and Franklin and Peg and Dave for supporting Helix. They all got their Helixes, or Helixes, mattresses, indeed, and they let me know about it. They let Helix know about it. I really appreciate that. And I want to thank Fairy Nursery, who signed up for a year at KiwiCo and let KiwiCo. They really appreciated their former sponsorship of the show. So I just want to thank you. If you support a sponsor, really, this is how people base their sponsorships on podcasts. Is it's not that their ads are heard. It's that people, like, you know, they want to hear from the people actually, you know what I mean? They want to stir action. So if you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it. And I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Rebecca, Franklin, Peg, Dave, and Fairy Nursery. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone and the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone are things I support and support for you. So if you're having a tough time right now, there's links to organizations that can help in the show notes. If you're looking for a longer-term relationship with a therapist, check out our sponsor, BetterHelp. And the emotional support of our community, particularly right now for the Black members of our community, is very important. Black mental health is important because Black lives matter. And I have links to organizations that you can either support or you can turn to for support. And one of those is BEAM. That's BEAM, and that's the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective, which is a group of therapists, lawyers, religious leaders, teachers, psychologists, activists, and advocates working together for emotional and mental health and healing in the Black community. And if you want to access their resources or support them, there'll be links to BEAM in the show notes. So you can, you know, let your community know you're here to support them. That's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mr. Bart, a lot of people help out on this show, including you. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the lecture. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the mystery bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. It's almost Christmas, y'all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. And you can always, if you commission a holiday, if you're looking to commission a holiday song, use the Mystery Bard, song.jonathanmann.net. That's it. Make sure if you're listening to this podcast and the podcast app, you know, you could share right out of the podcast app on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and let people know you're listening to the show. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, to turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind from the past, the present, the future, all those things. Or, you know, say, well, there's a past thought. Oh, there's a present thought about the past. There's a future thought about the past because of the past of the future. There's a thought about days of future past. I wonder what streaming service that's on. You know, so it could be thoughts, could be feelings, you know, any emotions coming up for you, remaining from the day, anticipatory emotions. Could be sweet emotions, though they usually, sometimes those keep you up, though. So it could be emotions, it could be physical sensations, it could be changes in routine or schedule or someone else's routine, it could be baffling. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do, or what I propose to do, is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones. Initially, my lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones are neither lulling or soothing for some people, but eventually they ideally they will be. They're the only tones I got. that are suitable for bedtime. My non-lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones are more not this. So this is my bedtime voice. So I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night and use those like while I use my lulling, soothing tones. There's a question though. Are like this is one of those tree in the woods, chicken or egg things, or frog or the frog or the egg. Is my voice carry my creaky dulcet tones? Well, I guess are they carried on sound waves, or are they are sound waves, and they're carried on sound waves. That's something to think about. I never thought, because they said, well, what's carrying my creaky dulcet tones across the deep, dark night? And the old physics brain said they're carrying themselves, I guess. So maybe not. I don't know. But that's a little bit too. It's not very deep, because you say, well, it's not a deep thought. It's just a thought I don't have the knowledge to comprehend. And I don't. This is a good thing about this podcast. If you're new, there's nothing to comprehend here. That's one of the first things I want to let you know. This is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. You don't really comprehend it so much as it's there. And you say, huh, what is this dude talking? Was he just talking about, what was he talking about earlier? Did he say Yodish beings? Does he say he has craggy dentist tones or something? Because he does sound like a craggy, what I would imagine a craggy mountain would sound like. And, you know, or a dentist in a craggy mountain. Well, no, it's a little bit more soothing than that. But he is a little craggy. The craggy dentist. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore. So let's just move on. So, oh, this is a podcast you don't really listen to. So if you're trying to wait for it to start, or you're going to say, when is he going to make sense? When am I going to comprehend what he's talking about? This podcast is best consumed passively. And just like if you're looking at something craggy, unless you're like some sort of adventurer or like one of those climbers, you say, well, that's pretty like, I mean, I guess I'm craggy aspirational. I would love not to do any of the stuff that involves all the work, but just like if I had power of levitation, I'd love to check out some craggy mountains up close and rub my hand. Oh boy, craggy mountain. Would I want to rub my hand around? Oh boy. Just to see your crags. I'd love to feel your crags, if you don't mind me, you know, if you don't mind me appreciating your natural beauty. But you're so high up that normally I have to, you know, it's from the road. That's where I consume most of my crags, is from the road. Would you see that over there? That's a craggy mountain. There's not a lot of, I mean, I'm sure, because craggy mountains, as opposed to, like you'd say, Scoots, can you give me an example of a famous craggy mountain? And I'd say, unfortunately, no, because finally, I guess today is the first time Crags there's probably one called Crags National Park. I think, I don't know, Pinnacles, is that? There's a lot of ones with fancy names. Like you'd say, well, what about Yosemite? I'd say, no, Yosemite's a little smooth to be called a crag. I mean, El Capitan, if it was smaller, there's probably craggy spots in Yosemite National Park, but those aren't the ones getting all the attention. If El Capitan wasn't so massive and majestic and reflect, you know, had all the light playing at it, if it was like little, I don't know, is there one called Mont Capitan, like that smaller or something? Or I don't know, like a little lieutenant, they say, well, that one's craggy, but that's outside. That's in a different park. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really know a lot of things off the top of my head. I was just thinking of it because I drove by some craggy stuff not that long ago. And I said to myself, I like crags. Also, I like going off topic. Sorry about that. So if you're waiting for this podcast to make sense, there you go. It doesn't really ever make any sense. It just kind of barely makes sense. You'd say he's kind of almost right. Except for super crag, you know, super crag fans, you'd say, well, Scooch, you don't know, Smith Rock State Park? I'd say, well, I get that one mixed up. Is that or you don't know Jones, old Troubadour Stone? It's a, it sounds like you're just making up words and trying to associate them with crags. And I'd say, you're right, I am. You caught me because I'm within you. Well, it's a good try. So it's a podcast you don't really listen to. It's also a podcast that doesn't really put you to sleep. Oh, and now my brain just said, was there anything on Tatooine that you would consider craggy? And I'd say, well, it's kind of tough when you're in a canyon. I guess crags are best viewed at a distance, so I can't say that I saw any crags on Tatooine or that other planet that we were in recently. But it's a podcast you don't really listen to. It doesn't really put you to sleep either. I'm here to keep you company while you drift off. That's why the episodes are about an hour, to give you plenty of time to fall asleep. And if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here to keep you company. That's one of my promises to you. Is I'm here to keep you company. So podcast doesn't really put you to sleep and it doesn't really ever get started. Also, the structure of the show can throw new listeners off. But what I want to say to my regular listeners, you're important too, regular listeners. Holy moly. I mean, Oshkosh bagosh. I mean, thanks for letting me know your favorite crags. Isn't crag a nice word? How come... You don't really know. Does anyone know a crag out there? Old Crag Cromwell. That was one of the one Cromwell that wasn't famous. Crag Cromwell. If, believe it or not, absolutely adorable was Crag Cromwell. Misnamed, or you'd say aptly named, those of us that love crags. And, but no one, because I'm trying to think what we, probably, I got to think of what my, I'll name a plant crag, because that's a good name for a plant. A turtle, you could call it, a turtle would be good. I'm not trying to belittle you turtles. I'm just trying to think of like what, like resonates, where you say, that is definitely a crag. Like a snapping turtle, that you say, well, I want you to meet my snapping turtle at a distance, of course. It's my snapping turtle crag. Wow, that's an aptly named turtle. You say, yeah, I want you to meet my plant. I don't know what kind it is. It's got some fuzzy stuff on it, some lumpy leaves. This is crag the plant. I don't know what other things, maybe a fish, like one of those fish that looks like it would be a crag. I'm sure there's a lot of fish out there. You'd say, no, that's a crag. I agree with you. Is that a freshwater? Yeah, it is. That's actually a species. Crag is a fish species. Is it anything like rock lobster? No. Did you just hear Fred Schneider's voice when I said that? I did. But anyway, podcasts don't really put you to sleep, doesn't? Oh, structure of the show. I was saying hi to the new listeners. I got off topic again. So structure of the show can throw people off. And it really, people have strong feelings about it. And I think it's just because the show really does defy expectations, not always in a good way. So if you're used to regular structure, or a structure you would expect, this show's different. It starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Yodish beings and such. Then there's a business and listener or like directed stuff. That's how we keep the show coming out twice a week. Then there's the intro, then there's the business, then there's, no, there's the business, then there's the intro. The intro goes on like about 20 minutes or so, somewhere around 14 to 20 minutes. And it's just me talking about the podcast. And that's one of the things people think that the business and the intro is the same thing. The intro is business that, Brewster's Million, where you say we're in the business of doing business. I'm in the business of talking about stuff, but I never get to the point. So the intro is just to introduce the podcast to new listeners, but then it's also to help regular listeners to fall asleep, to give you some distance from the day. So you say, oh, okay, now I can fall asleep. I don't need to, because I ease you into bedtime. The whole idea of the intro is you could play it before you get in bed or while you're getting into bed. Some people will fall asleep during it. Some people will find they prefer to skip it. But for most listeners, it's helping you drift off or be a part of a structured bedtime, be a part of be a part of a structured bedtime routine where you're unwinding. So that's the intro. Then there's business. Then there's our story. Tonight will be a recap of Mandalorian Chapter 10, The Passenger. So, and then there's the anchors at the end. So that's a structure. And what else do you need to know if you're new? This podcast does not work for everybody. You probably already figured that out, though, because you said, I never heard anybody use Craig more times. What about the person in, they were in both, one of the Thor movements, I can't even say that word without stuttering, Thor Ragnarok. There's a character that could have been there's a couple of characters in there. You'd say, well, what's your name? Craig? Well, thank you. I'd love to be Craig. Also, see if you can think of the character, and then you say, wait a second, that reminds me of season one of The Mandalorian. So a little cookie in there for you. So what was my point about that, though? Oh, not everybody likes the show either. So give the podcast a few tries and see how it goes. It does not work for everybody. Because so say, well, okay, this kind of worked for me or kind of didn't. Just see how it goes and see if you like it or not. So that's the structure of the show. I'm trying to think what else. The reason I make the show is because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I want to help, if I can, because I know how it feels. And I want to make bedtime something that you feel a little bit more neutral about, where it doesn't feel so craggy, or you don't feel craggy tomorrow. You say, whoa, boy, that is as smooth as I imagine the face of Half Dome is. Even though it's not technically probably not smooth at all. Oh, boy, did I slide in bed, and then I did some, I sculpted some clay. I modeled some clay. Oh boy, did it look good on me, too. I got back out of bed and I sashayed with my clay. I was the first, I'm the first modeling clay model that's not made of clay. And they say, are you ensconced in clay? That was what they said to me at City. They said, you're going to have to get, you're going to have to pick a number. And I said, I am. Thank you for using that wonderful word, though. Yes, that's what I said when I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, ensconced in clay. Today, I say, I'll be ensconced in clay, as I was dressing in clay, which you really don't do. I don't recommend it. And don't go to any city halls or, this was a Lego city hall that I built. So it was a little bit different situation. But they weren't even happy, it was just playtime. Well, unfortunately, it was also at a Lego store, so then I had to deal with but I said, I'd like to make a proposal, we don't have an official garment, vestments for this town, and I'd like to declare that this is a clay, and they said, what's your angle? And I said, I put all my money in clay. I don't know if you heard me a while ago. I said clay's making a comeback. And so I put it all in clay. Really, all my coins. I wrapped them in clay. I can't find them because I say, I don't even want to try to get all the clay off of it. I'm not even thinking about getting the clay. So how'd you get ensconced in clay? Very slowly, one piece of clay at a time. Anyway, I got to get back to the intro. So not everybody likes this podcast. I don't know how I got dressed in clay. I thought I was talking about crags. Oh, because maybe you're modeling clay, doing a part of your wind down routine. So that's what the podcast is here for, to give you some distance between the daytime and the nighttime and to ease you into bed. So see how it goes. That's one of the reasons I make the show, because I've been there. The other reason I make the show is because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could rest and get some time and get some, get some rest and get some wind down. And then tomorrow, ideally, you're in a better place. And then you say, well, I'm flourishing now. I've been listening to Sleep With Me for a while. Those are my favorite emails, or people that say, I'm flourishing so much, Scoots, I don't even need to listen to you anymore. And I say, that's great. Like, that really is. It gives me purpose, because if you're flourishing, the world's going to be a better place for all of us to live in. So that's it. That's why I make the show. Give it a few tries. That's what most listeners say. It's free. So just see how it goes. And I think that's it. I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I earned a nice drive. I'm glad to, yeah, I appreciate your time. And I really want to help you fall asleep. Here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this show free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time to talk about chapter 10 of The Mandalorian. Mandaborian here. Starts off with a recap. We see one season one episode with the droid that had bug eyes. And actually, there's more than one level, a callback to that episode where they're on the ship, the prisoner, I think it's called, or the escape plan or something. One of the best standalone episodes of that season. I mean, really, episode I really enjoyed watching every time I watched it. So we have the bug droid in Oso, then we have like last episode, a total recap of last episode for anybody new. Then we have the Lucasfilm and Star Wars thing. I did want to say that this episode I watched both episodes this season with someone that's not a Star Wars watcher and kind of like was doubtful, but they really seemed to enjoy this episode a lot. So I don't know if it was their mood or, you know, they'd seen the other episode. They're still learning. They like when you introduce someone new, they love Oso even more, which I didn't think was possible. Maybe just because Oso's more developed and has more sounds this season. I don't know. But we get this episode, we see two suns. So we get the Lucasfilm Star Wars openings, and we see two suns in a desert, a plane and a speeder bike kicking up dust. In my notes, I said a speeding speeder bike. I don't know what the speed limit for speeder bikes is. Oso's in the breeze. And we open with some action. A little bandit trap with some ropes, which is big. You know, trying to steal from the Mandalorian, not a good idea. But creative work. They do that. So they cause a little speeding speeder bike, like a stoppy poo, and everything spills out of the ship. And actually, speeder bike is non-functional. We see the Beskar armor in action, which you'd think if you'd saw Beskar armor in action, you'd just say, okay, let's get out of here. But that's not how it works. So they get a drop on them. Oso, action. Stride. Let's see. So there's like a dance off, you know, typical action sequence with the dance off. Mando has to outdance four characters or maybe five, but one of them carries Oso, and Mando says, that's my child. So don't mess with my child. We could just strike a bargain, which also brings up, don't strike a bargain with Mandalorian. Two episodes in a row, you learn that it is like I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. But I think that song's more about romance, but this one's like those genie in the bottle stories. Be careful what you make a strike a bargain for. But they go back and forth, and eventually they settle on the jetpack, which I said, what do you buy? I mean, I guess the jetpack's probably worth a ton of money. One, it must have limited fuel. I don't know how much fuel it has, but because they don't use it, maybe just can't carry a lot of weight other than a human and an Oso. But Mando uses a remote on that after the character he made the deal with takes a jetpack and he flies away. Looks like it attaches to Mando's back by magnet. So that character runs off with the jetpack, then gets jetpacked right into the sand. Remote control, not very merciful, I guess. So jetpack returns. Fuel I put. Also, there's a close up of the Mandalorian before they switch to the chapter marker. He still has green slime on his face, so he hasn't had a chance to clean his helmet. Then we get some Mando walking through the desert scenes, like in a Western, even a crossfade, with good music, of course, mirages. Then he sees the town. He gets back at dusk, back to, I forgot the name of the town, of course. Oga's Cantina. I think that's where he shows up, though. Know the name of that. Corellia? No, that's not it. And he finds his favorite Sidaris playing poker, or some sort of card game. I don't know if it's the same game as in from the Solo movie. Sidaris is playing against some sort of thorax-based being, TBB. She says, you got some Mandalorian stuff, huh? Where is the Mandalorian? He goes, it wasn't Mandalorian, but I bought his armor. What'd that set you back? Krayt Dragon. He was my last lead, though. Dr. Mandible, according to the Dr. Mandible. Can you cover Dr. Mandible knows where some Mandos are. Can you cover his costs? It's a 500, a high-stakes game. He's on a hot streak anyway. And so Mando gets it back, like his karma right back, I guess, because she says, idiot's array, pay up, Thorax. Maybe that's like four jokers or something. I don't know. And he goes, okay, we'll contact with a rendezvous at the rendezvous with the contact at the hangar. Sidaris is brusque, I put. She also walks with total, like, cool attitude. She goes, did you get any dragon meat? Better be good. Stop your crying. Stop your moping, she says. Hey, don't overcook the meat either, Treadwell. Medium rare. They cook in the dragon meat by a jet thing. She goes, okay, the covert's close. One system over. He goes, Navarro? She goes, I don't know. But the contact will take you. He goes, how much? Free, except for my finder's fee. And he goes, well, what's not the good news? She goes, one small skank in the scud pipe. Contact wants passage to the system. Do you vouch for them? Oh, totally, to the max. Okay. Also, you can't use hyperspace and our hyperdrive. He goes, no way, sublight. That's not a good idea. She goes, mitigating circumstances. He goes, what do you mean? Then we see like a slee sack. What are they called? Slee sacks? Like a frog person. And she's carrying a backpack kind of full of frog eggs. And she's going, her spawn, she needs them fertilized by Equinox. The eggs can't go in hyperspace. Her husband's on the estuary moon of Trask or something. Sidaris speaks frog or frogish or frogian. And because is that where the Mandalorians are? My husband knows where the Mandalorians are. He's seen them. Oso is really staring at the frog eggs, which are in a clear backpack, I assume heated. The Mando says to Sidaris, do you even know the husband? I just met her. What are you talking about? And then she eats some dragon meat, thin sliced. Crate dragon meat looks like you cook it a bit like you would for meat for a euro or gyro, depending on where you name stuff. Let's see. Frog person also has eyes for spawn. Estuary moon. She's sure. Oso, when Oso stares at the eggs, there's even music. Egg backpack, meat eating, Mando in space. He says, I'm going to have to ask you to stay strapped in while seated. There's some sort of, they have a communications issue since he doesn't speak frog. He says, do you speak Huddies? No. No, do you speak Huddies? He says that in Huddies. No. She just blinks. Hala to Havaka. Hala to Havaka. What if they said that in Return of the Jedi? Probably they did. If Huddies is what the Huts speak. Then there's also egg music again as he gets close up on the eggs. I don't know what the mom's thinking not having the eggs with her. I guess she's thinking that Oso wouldn't eat them. Then Mando sets autopilot and says, all right, I'm going to hit the rack. I got to set the nav. You should get some rest because it's going to be a long drive. Then he goes to check his bedroom, the rack. Oso's not in there. So the kid's not in bed. Then Oso's having a little snack, hard-boiled eggs. Also, the frog person brought hard-boiled eggs. But they seem to be for her, and he's just helping himself. He goes, those aren't for you, man. Oso burps. He says, nap time. Then we fade to black. And, of course, anytime the Mandalorian relaxes, then this alert goes off. So then he goes back. He sees the frog is asleep. And then it's the chips are next to him in X-Wings. Like, just like the California Highway Patrol, he says, is there a problem, officer? New Republic rules, buddy. You're supposed to have your transponder on at all times. He goes, oh, this thing didn't have, like, this thing was retrofitted. It's very well written, because he says, okay, I'll get right on it then. And then they say, one more thing, send us a ping, which I guess must be the whole, like, where they download your whole computer. Or your, like, computer, like, your code and your personal code and your ship's code. But first, we're going to let him off. He says, yeah, may the force be with you, also with you. Oh, boy, one more thing, though. Send us a ping. There. Just one more thing. Oh, yeah? Yeah, give us a ping. And Mando says, oh, I don't think we're looking for Imperials, obviously. He goes, well, I'll let you know if I see any, but that doesn't work on my ship. And he goes, oh, it's not turned on. And they say, okay, we'll wait. And he goes, well, it's broken. And they say, oh, okay, well, we'll have to pull you over then, you know, but when we pull you over here, we got to drive way out of the way. And they say, man, that's not good. Adelphi is where we'll have to go. Then we'll run your tabs. And he goes, oh, well, okay, here it is. There, that works. And the frog lady wakes up. Sorry about that noise. Not a frog lady. I don't know why you would cover that up, though. And then they say, let's talk privately, the two X-Wing officers. And then their X-Wings go to X-Wing mode. They were in flight mode. They go into pulling over with action mode. Mando takes off. They go, oh, boy, we got a runner. And a chase ensues. So we're like, what, 10 minutes into the episode or 14 minutes, and we already had two action. This is our second action sequence. They follow them, and they go into a planet with a lot of clouds. Mando tries to hide in the clouds, doesn't do that successfully. Well, he kind of barely does. Then he turns off the engines. They don't fly right by. He drops so that he drops straight towards the Earth or the planet. There's even the cool sound effects of, plummeting ship. They drop fast. A frog woman does not like it. They fly into an ice canyon. Not sure if this was one of the planets from one of the movies, but it's an ice planet. Or it's an icy planet. Target computer active. They said, don't, these are very generous patrollers. They said, don't make us, you know, take out your ship, man. Razor Crest. Then the Mando successfully hides. First he goes through a cave. Then he slides across the ice and then manages to like turn off his engine and slide under a rock. And the X-Wings do fly by, but they're like, so they fly by. He drops through the ice. And then again, the screen goes to black again. Then we come back. Mando just wakes up. They had all fallen asleep. But stuff is frosty. He's a little frozen. Really fun sequence, though, with the Razor Crest sliding across the ice. And they give you a quick second where you're like, oh, okay, things are going to be just fine here. But then it cracks and drops pretty far. They fall asleep, cut to black, cut back, Mando wakes up. So then he helps the frog mama, wakes her up. He says, don't worry, I'll go look for your kids. Don't worry at all. There's a hole in their hull. At some point he says, we've lost hull integrity. Then he's looking around. I think he even says a D-A-double-M, you know, darn it all. Because he can't find Oso or the eggs. Then he finds Oso under the blanket eating the eggs, hard-boiled eggs. So don't worry, unshelled. Doesn't give him consequences. So I don't want to, teach you. I mean, he's more of like a caretaker. What do you call that? A caretaker than... you got to give him consequences, man. Oso slurps down an egg. He does a slurp, then a burp. Right now he's looking for him. Where's the frog lady's like, hurry up and find my eggs, dude. My hard-boiled eggs and my spawn are together. Because they need hard-boiled eggs to feed, it helps, like I brought those for my husband, it helps, it's aphrodisiac where we're from. A lot of comedy with Oso and the hard-boiled eggs. The mom, he says, don't worry, got your kids. Oso slurps and burps. He says, what are you doing, man? Those are aphrodisiac for frogs, not for Yodish beings. Then Mando says to the frog, like they're starting to eat a meal. He says, main power drives out. Temperature's going to drop. Hull's integrity's messed up. Plan's off. He goes, I'll give you an idea what's going to happen later, but you're not going to like it. I'm going to take a nap. The frog lady, she says, look at this battery level on my my spawn. Low on aphrodisiacs and my spawn have to be kept at a certain temperature. And Mandalorian says, let's talk about it later. And she groans, but then she, nothing is what it seems in these ones. Oso's trying to get closer to the eggs. He snuggles up with the Beskar armor or Beskar steel. She snuggles up with her kids, but she's still trying to brainstorm a solution. There is a small heater. And she looks up at that droid head from the droid the Mando had taken out. And she blinks her eyes. She's thinking. Then she wakes the Mandalorian up with the frog head. She's using it to interpret for her. This can't wait till morning. I bypassed the security protocols. I got his vocabulator. So, like, these are my, he goes, what are you doing? That's a dangerous droid. She goes, it's only its head, one, two. These are my last brood. My husband worked, trying to carve out an existence for us on the only planet hospitable to our species. And we've gone through too much to deal with this. This is our family line. So I demand you hold true to your bargain. Oso whimpers. Mando says, lady, the deal's off. And she gets him right where he gets, he says, okay, well, I thought there was something called the Mandalorian Code. Maybe you don't believe in it. Maybe that's just for kids. Also, too bad you won't find any Mandalorians then. He looks at Yoda, who looks at him. He goes, oh, brother. Moves Yoda, gets grouchy, gets up. grabs his toolbox and says, I guess I got to get to work. This wasn't part of the deal, though. And this little wreckage looks, I don't know how he fixes it, because there's like sparking stuff, smoking stuff, goop, stuff shooting goop, green goop out, bright green goop. We get some surf guitar music. There's still sunlight coming through the hole that they fell through. And Mandalorian kind of starts to work on some of the ship. And he says, oh boy, we don't got much sunlight left. It kind of does one of those looks. So either he was asleep the whole night or he was only asleep for a little while. I think, again, he keeps getting worried about when night falls, though. But he starts to work on the ship. We paint, the camera pans up to give us a little break. It fades to white when we see him working. Then Oso's talking to him and pointing, actually tattletaling. Oso says, why don't you do something, kid? And Oso marches off. He goes, hey, why didn't I learn to give you consequences? Where are you going? I said, get back here. Very grouchy, kid. Get back here. Then he sees Oso kind of staring off. Looks just like Yoda at that moment. Not a Yodish being, Yoda the character. And we see the steps of the frog mom. Then we see him in thermal imaging. And he picks up Oso. And he walks through an ice cave. Very beautiful blue ice cave. Very nice with the sunlight. And he starts to go through the cave. It's very like he's looking around. He's always suspicious. He looks pretty cool, iced in. Oso's looking around, being held. He's doing the football butt carry of baby Oso, following the mom's steps, wondering, you know, WTF. Keeps checking the thermal imaging. And then eventually he sees like some red light coming through. He says, okay, more thermal stuff up there. Goes into a larger cave. And it's like a hot spring. I mean, first he has to take a couple turns, takes a left turn there, scoots through. Then he's in the hot spring. And the frog lady's in the hot spring in her frog birthday suit with her spawn. And there's a lot of icicles. He says, what are you doing out here? You can't be outside the ship. We don't know what's out here. She says, I got to keep my frog, you know, everything like warm. Oso sees the warm hard-boiled eggs, too. He says, wait a second. And Mandalorian says, it's going to be nighttime soon, and I can't work on the ship. And she says, but it's nice and warm in here. He says, let's get these spawn and hard-boiled eggs cleaned up. He sees Oso reaching for a hard-boiled egg. He goes, no. He winks his finger at him. Oso does not really listen. Then he does. So then he wanders off. Hot spring with eggs. Gather these up. Bobbing for frog eggs. No. Oso walks off. He's sniffing something. And then he sees these like thumb-shaped things. He goes up to one. They're also eggs, of course, but a different kind, or spores. Or something. He sniffs one, then he taps it. It's hollow. Then he scratches the top of it. His ears move. He rips it open. It's paper-like. And inside is a fern friend. Like a half fern. Is that what they're called? Ferns are a spore-based plant, right? Maybe. And he snacks on the fern. What he doesn't know, these are sentient fern beings. Not a fern-based being. I guess they're fern-based beings. And he's surrounded by these spores with baby fern, sentient ferns in there. And all of them start to come out of their shell. It's very cool music. Really, really good music. He snacks on this thing. And all the fern babies say, what in the heck? And he says, I don't like these ferns. They start going towards him. And they say, are you a fern? Huh. What are we? They're just kids, so they don't know. Huh. But then they start making this sound to call the older sentient ferns. The frog mom, she grabs her cloak with her tongue to get dressed. She gets dressed really fast, really efficient at getting dressed. And this is very D&D type moments. Oso cries, runs to his papa. Oh dear. Lots of new fern friends show up of various sizes. And you know, if there's fern children around in an episode about parenthood, there's like teen ferns. And then the mom fern comes. And there was a show called Between Two Ferns. And I don't know, this must be the way the ferns are in Star Wars, because they say, we're going to have to surround you and keep you as part of our fern family. We just want to snuggle you. But when you get snuggled by ferns, the thing is that it's cold. The ferns don't realize that these are two warm-blooded characters. And then I'm not sure about the frog. So there's various sizes. He says, go, run. At some point, like, my notes are going to change here, but she goes into frog mode. The chase is very D&D. The ferns have legs, so they can run very fast. So they're chasing them. Also, the ferns can shoot this fern, sticky fern stuff, fern goop. But so now I did it, this will be, how many stages is this? Okay, this looks like a 60-stage plan to deal with the fern trouble. And so you don't get caught up in a fern, you know, web of ferns, I would say. The old web of ferns was another Star Wars episode 20, web of ferns. Okay, so if you do, so here's how you start out. How do you also create fern trouble for an action sequence? One, open a fern spore and eat it. Two, tell your dad. Three, get picked up. Some of this is from Oso's perspective. Four, run, moan also. Five, if you're the Mandalorian, draw your anti, you have an anti fern sprayer. Draw your anti-fern sprayer and watch. One spray maybe. Seven, dodge a fern web. Eight, pull up your coat. If you're a frog, before you go in frog mode, pull up your cloak or your coat. Nine, enter frog mode. 10, dodge the leg of the giant frog woman. 11, run really fast. 12, use your magnetic detonators if you're the Mandalorian. Because that, like, hopefully that'll cause a cave in and it'll stop the ferns and stop the fern mother. And ideally, if you stop the fern mother, you'll stop everything. So surround the fern mother with, use three detonators, turn them on so the LEDs go on. Throw them. I guess they stick to snow too. You know, explode them, cause cave in. Hopefully the fern mother went bye-bye. That's step 12. Step 13, watch to see if it worked. 14, it didn't stop the fern family from chasing you, so run. 15, spray a lot of your anti-fern spray. 16, use your fire thingamajig, your flame-throwing wrist thing. I don't know where it keeps, I mean, I guess like I'm like, man, Mandalorian has to give a lot of fuel, or they can really compress the fuel. 17. Spray 1, 2, this is probably incorrect though, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 times maybe. 18, get gooped by a fern goop, also catch a baby fern. 19, spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times around. 20, get inside the hull of your ship. There's a blanket blocking the way. Spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six or seven times. 21, go up the ladder, spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times or so. 21, close the door, spray, but then the bunch of ferns try to keep you from closing the door. Spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times or so. If you're also, a baby, ferns on your head, get saved by the frog mom who brushes it away kindly. Step 24, use more of your flamethrower to get clear the door. Step 25, close the door. Step 26 or so, because my numbers are off, watch and listen. Next step, try to start the ship. This better work. Get some ride flying music going. Step 29 to 27, 28 or 29, take off a little bit. Next step, I'll start at step 30 again because my numbers are off. Mom or dad lands on your ship, the giant fern. It causes your ship to go back down to the ground. Then the mom will try to break your windows. Step 30, do a close-up of the mother or father trying to get on your ship and gasp. Step 31, saved by mysterious blasts of anti-fern ray. By whom? Step 32, better find out, but they have spotlights, so we can't see them. Step 33, hold on to your eggs, Mom, because Oso's nearby. Step 34, go walk through your ship. Oh boy, it's going to be need to clean because it's full of fern droppings. Can't believe sentient ferns go to the bathroom. Step 35, whoever the mysterious characters are, clean off your ship of more ferns with their anti-fern rays. Step 36, realize that it was the X-Wing cops that pulled you, ships that pulled you over. We ran your tabs, they say. You were supposed to be busted for rescuing prisoner X6, hold on, X6 something. We'll come back to it because it hit the wrong button too. So now they're cleaning off. Also, the slime is also, this is season 2, season of slime, or chapters 9 and 10, the slimy episodes. We ran your tabs. You were supposed to be busted for rescuing or escaping X6911. But the camera said that you also busted 3 priority culprits from the wanted register, and you helped protect or tried to protect Lieutenant Davin. Is this true? Am I busted? The Mandalorian says, technically you should be, but these are trying times. And the Mandalorian says, okay, what if I forego? Okay, let's get back to the steps, right? Is this true? Trying times. Can you help me seal up my ship? No. Why don't you just fix the transponder, bro? You're lucky. That's all we did was, we're just going to, we won't even give you a ticket, but we're not going to help sit around. We saved your rear end, by the way. You never even said thank you. So bye. Step 40, watch them leave. Step 41, that's a big bummer. I'm going to have to get back to work and fix some stuff to stabilize the ship. And hope we wiped out. Unfortunately, while we tried to save one frog spawn, we may have wiped out an entire spawn of fern-based beings. Maybe, not sure if that's any irony. So, step 42, we're going to have to get cozy in the cockpit. Because I'm not going to be able to fix the hull. Step 43, use the privy. Take your turns. Don't leave Oso alone with the eggs after midnight. 7:44, fix the stuff while the kid watches you with love and amazement and thoughtfulness. Step 44B, use a privy again. Step 45, don't eat the eggs, kid. Step 46, take off while the ship shakes a lot and we defurn it. Step 47, wake me up before you go-go, because I'm not planning on it going solo. Sweet dreams. Oh, step 48, only 48 step plan. Don't eat the eggs, but keep an egg hidden in your pocket for later. Ha ha. Okay, and then the episode ends with the, that was like the end of the episode after Oso sneaks an egg when everyone's sleeping that he had in his pocket. Okay, so then the episode ends with the title, I don't think they're storyboards because they're too artistic and beautiful. I mean, not that storyboards aren't. The storyboards are just usually a little bit faster put together. So maybe these were like concept art. I don't know. Probably that's what they are. So one is the fern-based beings. Two is the X-Wing chase. Three is the hot tub. Four is the Sedaris card game. Five is the frog on the ship. Six is a crash in the snow with the X-Wing flying by. Seven is running away from seven is run away from the fern-based beings. Let's see. And actually, they even add some like motion while spraying the fern-based beings and the frog woman running. Eight is like surrounded by fern-based beings at your ship. Nine is in the cockpit while the fern-based beings surround your ship. And 10 is being saved by the X-Wings. All right, so we got time for a couple facts here. So sector is one thing that came up this episode. So we went over to starwarsfandom.fandom.com. And according to this, sector is an area of space framed by an artificial boundary for political, economic, or military organization. Groupings of inhabited systems organize themselves into informal sectors before the Infinite Empire. The Galactic Republic was the first body to try to make standardized sectors, a maximum of 50 star systems that are inhabited. After rapid exploration, it caused many sectors to grow larger than their size. Then some even got up to 1,000 inhabited systems. That's 125 inhabited systems per sector. At some point, there was too many sectors. So there was something called the Russian Reformation in 1000 BBY. It reorganized the galaxy into 1,024 sectors and even subsectors. But that was problematic because some had, you know, a little bit of worlds and somewhere like barren stars. Chancellor Palpatine reversed the moratorium on new sectors and created new sectors by dividing up larger ones. By Republic law, in a state of emergency, an appointed governor could coordinate military action with a senator of a troubled sector. This is what Palpatine exploited during the Clone Wars. Then when the Empire took over, Moffs, M-O-F-F-S, replaced senators as governors of sectors, and sectors were expanded or collapsed together by the Moffs. Under Palpatine and delegated by Palpatine. Unincorporated territories wishing to be part of the Empire became new subsectors or were added. Some were based on the primary planet, like Alderaan became the Alderaan system and then the Alderaan sector. sector maps. There's maps of the sectors, the outer rim, the mid rim, and the expansion region. Let's see. I don't know if that's in Legends. I don't know what canon means. In canon, a sector is a space of land framed by artificial boundary that contains solar systems. It's just not as expansive. The canon just says it's basic. All right. I want to look up jetpacks here on Star Wars Fandom while I'm here. Jetpacks are aerial transportation. Mandalorian armor was equipped with jetpacks. Some clone troopers had jetpacks. Galactic Empire had jump troopers, First Order jet troopers, Sith Eternals jet trooper, clone jetpack trooper. Known models include the JT-12, the Z-6, and the rocket packs. Let's see. That's in canon. Let's see what Legend has. I just want to see what we know about fuel and stuff. They were worn on the back, wrist-mounted control or verbal controls. A jetpack funneled air and fuel through miniaturized turbines, which caused a thrust. You had to have some, you couldn't go very high, and you had to have some atmosphere to have thrust. Sometimes they created a cloud of exhaust or dust to help with getaways. Directional exhaust nozzles helped control the flight path and had a gyro stabilizer. Downsides to the jetpack's agility were the device's 30 kilo weight. So that answers one question for this episode. And most models can only carry enough fuel for around 20 bursts of thrust. So that's another one. Often a repulsor pack was a more viable alternative. Let's see. Yeah, you could also use it, I guess, as a parachute. There's a little bit about that. Let's see what a repulsor pack is. A repulsor pack has repulsor lift technology. They're more efficient than jetpacks, longer flight, but they only worked inside of a gravity well. No idea what any of that is. A repulsor, repulsor lift engine is a repulsor anti-gravity technology capable of levitating an object. Is created by forming subnuclear knots of space-time by enormous unmanned power refineries encompassing black holes. Repulsor lifts were widely used, and they're used in every vehicle, virtually every vehicle. Repulsor lifts only worked in a gravity well, as the technology required mass to push against. So like on Alderaan, an anti-grav range was approximately six planetary diameters. Repulsor lifts use minimal power and reliable enough to be utilized continuously. Repulsor lifts could be assembled in raised clusters or vanes studded with microcoils of gravitic knots. These units were mounted on a vehicle or spacecraft on the underside. I don't understand any of this. Repulsor lifts, speeder bikes, land speeders, air speeders, and starships that operate in gravity wells. Let's just figure out, what is a gravity well? I mean, does it have gravity well on here? Gravity well. Gravity well is any location where a gravity field existed. So that'd be any planet with gravity, right? I mean, there was also ships with gravity wells. I don't know. I mean, we're at the limits of my understanding of anything, which is always a good place to be. Speeder bikes, larger history. The five planets of the Corellian system possessed massive repulsors on their surface. They were so powerful they could destroy ships in space. And even stopped the firepower of Centerpoint Station, which created gravitational shifts strong enough to destroy stars. Let's see. There's even asteroid shepherds. I don't know. I guess it's a little bit beyond my thing, but it's just a little bit about, you know, repulsor jetpacks, gravity wells, and of course, Yeah, so I guess that's just a little bit. I mean, I think that's all we need to know. I was going to look up those jetpacks. Let's see if I can find those links again. JT-12. The JT-12 was a personal jetpack worn by clones. Also had a launcher, so that could be what both models were fangoed by Jango Fett. He lost his JT-12 once upon a time. So that's one. It was created by Mirsan Munitions. What was the other one? Z6. Let's see if it has a link for Z6 even. Jetpacks. I could have sworn notable usage. Z6 jetpack. Here we go. Oh, no. This one, Z6 was produced by Minitrons. Oh, this was one worn by Mandalorians. Jango Fett also wore one of these, and Boba Fett. This one was Z6 could hold enough fuel for 1 minute of continuous operation. Maybe we should go back and see what the JT-12 had, if it could hold longer. Let's see, the JT-12, Misko, Genosis, Mace Windu, somebody. Modified version was used by clone troopers, and the Z6, similar to Z6, the fuel tank held enough fuel for 1 minute of continuous operation, 23-second blasts, which could move you 100 meters horizontally or 70 meters vertically. So not very far. So I don't know. That's interesting. So just a little facts, good night. I hope you're snuggled up like Oso against Beskar Steel as you get your rest. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the podcast recently. Princess Rye, three stars, not really a comment, some sort of character emoji. So I don't know what that is. Miss Pixel says, how does this work? I don't know, but I love it. I have a terrible time falling asleep. Ridiculousness, laugh out loud. The drippiness of the voice has worked every time. So far, 3 times. I'm going to start it before I get in bed. So then when I'm tucked in, I've gotten to the good stuff. Thank you so much for your silly magic. YOLO for life, it says, a sleeping staple. This podcast was the last-ditch effort to fall asleep after sleepy time tea, melatonin, warm bath. Nothing was working until I found this podcast. I hardly make it past the intro till I'm knocked out, and then I wake up feeling rested. Thanks. Thanks, YOLO for life, YOLO 5736. AH1 says, thank you. My hand hit the fridge and I had the urge to write a review. Thanks for all you do to help others. Don't know how it works, but it does. Never made a pass intro. LAC says, Z's, the only thing that's put me to sleep in the past few weeks. Thank you. 423, that's different than 420, it says life essential. There's some things you always want on hand. The sleep in me is one of those salves for nerves at the end of a long week. Helps me clear my head, fill my lungs, and let me sleep. Doppelkitty, we may have read that one before, but I just like it. Doppelkitty, it's a cat, pretend to be a cat. It's all great. Love this podcast. And this podcast is here to support human rights too, and that's important. So thanks. Thanks everybody for reviewing the show. Sleep New exists a free podcast because people support the show or support the show directly on Patreon or support our sponsors, and then we grow with people just spreading the word naturally. So if you get a chance to do that, that's a free way to help the show. You don't even have to share about Sleep With Me, just share about podcasts in general. And that'll help the show, and I'll appreciate it. And so we'll be the person you teach about podcasts. So thanks so much, and good night. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.